Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. And today we have Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Howdy. I'm doing good. How about you, AJ?
How was your day?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't look stressed at all. So I'm actually just going to agree with you.
Yeah. No, I feel pretty good today. I had a pretty good day.
You look good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's mainly because of that t-shirt.
Yeah. So Dan is sporting a fresh new Art of Engineering t-shirt, like literally hot off the presses. Like, is it warm? Is that shirt hot? Too hot to wear?
It's a little sweaty, but I think that's me.
Mine too. Weird. I'm not even wearing one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Aaron, how you doing?
Swell. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate that.
No problem.
How are you, AJ? Actually, I just heard that. How are you, AJ, since you didn't answer Dan?
I'm doing well. No, I'm doing really well.
Good. How was your day?
You know, I'm digging in on some new stuff that's it's challenging and it's fun. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. I would have probably said it sucks, but that's just me.
I said it's challenging and it's fun, Aaron.
I know. I heard you.
Andy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm still on an emotional high from our recent appearance. I'm feeling really good. We got a lot of awesome feedback from our Knox interview on YouTube. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I feel great.
Yeah. For everybody that like just now started subscribing, because of that, I'm like predicting the future because this episode will air in the future. Crystal ball's out. Thank you. And welcome.
Welcome to the family.
Typically, what we do on this show is interview network engineers, right?
Typically.
Yep.
Typically. However.
But before we get to the typical thing, we have some wins to celebrate.
Yep.
Oh, dude, who do we got this year? By the way, we apologize ahead of time because of the time delay. It's really difficult for us to keep up, but the holidays, we got like a little bit of backlog of episodes. So if you got a W and we didn't say it, we're sorry. We'll get to you. Just keep listening.
Yeah, these are a little delayed. So like we're announcing things that happened this week as we record, but we're not going to release this episode for like a month now at this point. earlier this week, somebody by the screen name handle, what do the kids call it these days? What's your Discord name?
I don't know. Handle?
The John. I think it's a John.
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 Maybe in Philadelphia. But
yeah.
John. Discord John.
Discord John. All right. Well, his Discord John is NKM. His first name is Martin. He lives in Denmark, and he passed the security core exam.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a new one.
Nice.
Yeah.
He had completed the, I believe he said it was the ICE specialization exam. So he completed his CCNP security with that pass. So congratulations, Martin.
Yeah. Good.
Big win. Big win.
Yeah. Ooh. Absolutely. A good friend of mine, Michael, lives in Ireland.
Ooh.
He passed his Encore exam, and he goes by Frames and Packets in the Discord.
Yeah. Okay. Good old Frames and Packets. I didn't know he was in the UK.
Yes.
Well, I guess Ireland is not the UK, technically. Interesting. Got a lot of international Ws.
Yeah, yeah.
From across the pond. Congratulations,
over
folks.
There. Yeah.
And then one last one. It's a couple weeks old now, but he posted it in Winning just the other day. IT guy Blake, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that his first name is Blake.
Nice.
passed his CCNA, and he put a wonderful write-up on Reddit. So you can find the link in the Winning channel and read about his success on the CCNA.
Yeah, go check out his Reddit. The title was a super high score, and then it said CCNA is doable in some portion of that. So if you go check it out and kind of get his story, he did a very good write-up, as AJ said.
Excellent. Well, that's all the wins I have for this week. So, Aaron, I will let you pick up where you...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was just interjecting anyway. But, yeah, for all the people that just joined us, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you right back. And hit that subscribe button, please, so that you can get notified in the future when we have new episodes. Typically, we do, let's just call them industry people. And usually those are engineers. We've had some architects. Who else have we had on here?
Help desk.
Just, you know, anything IT related you could think of, but mostly in the network field. Obviously, this is the art of network engineering. However, today the episode will be the art of job recruitment. And with us, we have a very special guest. We wouldn't dare just talk about job recruitment without having a job recruiter with us. But that's a lie, because I have a lot, and I was probably very, very loud and obnoxious about it, so I apologize for that. But I do not apologize for our next guest, who actually hangs out in our Discord channel. Brittany, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And you live where?
Houston, Texas.
H-Town. And Brittany was just telling us she bought a house, so that's cool.
Yep, I'm moving in next Friday. First day, I'll have trick-or-treaters.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that. So that's pretty sweet.
Yep.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, you were in our Discord, and I think it's like a great resource. You know, obviously, it could be a little sketchy. Like you, and I think I heard you say this, so I'm just going to paraphrase and correct me if I'm wrong. You feel a little slimy. Like, you know what I mean? If you're hanging out in a, like, 500 person Discord group where we all do the same thing, and you're like, does anybody want this engineering job I have? Because I mean, look, you got to put food on the table. We get it. I don't hate the hustle one bit. I think that was a freaking genius move. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? If there was a Discord server full of recruiters like you guys, I'd slide my butt in there. I'd be like, what's up?
Be careful.
a recruiter's Discord? That's awesome.
I don't even want to find one of those. Yeah. But no, you're right. I did feel like sketchy or slimy or almost spammy in a way, like joining it, because I know you guys, y'all get probably 10 calls a day for jobs or just spammy emails all the time, so you never know like what's real or what's fake, who's legit. So I felt like whenever I was able to like talk with you a little bit first, and AJ is like, you can go join the Discord. And at first I was lurking a little bit, just being like, what are y'all talking about? Who's studying what? Because I like to learn the lingo, so that was kind of why I was looking in there. But then AJ was like, don't feel bad. You can go ahead and post jobs on there. If anyone gives you a hard time, I got your back. But then you also but then Aaron, you also said you had my back on there the other day. You're like, she's genuinely trying to help out. And I was like, thank you. But yeah, since I started posting in there, I've had probably like 5 or 10 guys reach out to me separately that I've been talking with.
I love that.
It's been really great. Good.
That's awesome.
It's such a small world too. Like in that Discord group, as you mentioned in the winds, there's people from across the pond everywhere.
Yep.
I went, one of the guys that reached out to me from the Discord group, I just knew his name. I think it was NetSec Weezy.
Oh yeah.
He was like, hey, I might be looking for a new role. Let me know. So he sends me his resume, and he ended up living in the smallest town in Texas that I went to school for in 4 years, Laredo, Texas.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, what a small world.
So did you get him a job?
No, I didn't. He got a job about a week later after I talked with him. But,
man.
Which I'm happy for him, of course. But yeah, I was like, that's crazy. Such a small world.
What'd you think of his resume?
It was good. It was well written, definitely.
Oh, God, so, get out of here. Wait, no, get out of here.
So
why, did y'all have a look at it?
A couple weeks beforehand, before he got that job, he hit me up in the Discord. He's just like, hey, I kind of want some help, you know. I want to look for a new job. Would you take a look at my resume for me? And so, yeah, like him and I went back and forth, and I helped him spruce up his resume.
You knew that was going
like that.
Somewhere, right?
I had no idea. I just gave you the ultimate compliment.
So I think it's important to note, Brittany, that you're not just a technical recruiter. You don't just recruit for any IT position. Your focus is network engineering.
Yes.
Hmm. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I guess like maybe I'm a little ignorant, I guess is the best way to put that, to like how you guys operate. Is that typical or is it just like, walk us through that basically.
Okay, definitely. So it really in the US, it's not that common. In like England and the UK, recruitment is massive there.
Why is that?
I have no idea. It's my smaller. Whole office is, yeah, I know. My whole office is British guys. Like, we're really? A UK company. My company is headquartered in Manchester.
Got it. Oh,
okay.
Got it.
Right. So, okay. I don't know. It's been, recruitment has definitely grown out here. The external side of recruitment has grown out in the US. I've only been doing it for about 3.5 years, but definitely in the last 10 years, probably. And, I don't know. Most recruiters will be like very broad. One day they can recruit for a systems admin. One day they can recruit for a finance guy. One day they'll recruit for a doctor. Mm. So you never really like get specialized in what you're talking about or what you're doing. And so that's most companies. Some companies, and there are, we have our competitors. Oscar Technology is not massive by any means, but we'll be external to where we're very niche in our market. So my company, for example, we have a whole cybersecurity team. I'm the network and infrastructure side, and then we'll have a whole DevOps team. We have a construction team that just recruits for construction guys. So yeah, I mean, it just depends on the company, but that's one thing that's important too, like make sure you know your recruiter and get a good one that you know is literally talking to your industry every day.
So like let's clear that up then. So you said like just make sure you get a good recruiter. How does one get a recruiter? Because my inbox is recruiters. I've never once searched a recruiter in my life. So, like, is that something you could do? And, like, as a service?
I mean, you could, definitely. Hmm. But most recruiters that are good, they're going to find you. Like, they will end up finding you if they need you for the job.
Touché.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, finding a recruiter in your industry, it's as easy as, like, going on LinkedIn, typing in network engineer recruiter. And of course, you'll see tons of bad, you know, results. But then you could find good ones. Like, look at their LinkedIns. Do they have recommendations? Have they been posting? Do they engage with their network? What are they talking about? You know,
right?
You can just see, like, are they in the know?
Right. Yeah.
That's what impressed me about you, Brittany, is like you were posting things about like, hey, here's this like free Keith Byers Python course that, you know, I hear is really good, and like you're contributing to the community, which is rare from my perspective, you know, of
most
the
of the time you'll see like
with.
Job apply now.
Yeah. Right. That's pretty much it. Like, you know, not really creating any value or having a conversation with the people you're trying to work with. Yeah.
And that I have changed my model of that a little bit too. Cause you know, obviously the like posting of the jobs to apply, they are good, but without the network, you're not going to get any responses. So I've really like this past probably year and a half or so have been focused on like, let me actually build connections with these guys, figure out what's going on in the market, and then, you know, just be able to work with them in the long term and stuff like that. So I've noticed like when I do start those conversations, I build a lot more like flow of income and of people coming to me and talk to me about stuff.
Like myself, obviously.
Yeah.
So I look, you guys know how I roll here. I will dip my pen in the company ink as much as I possibly can. And what I mean is I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'm not going to tell somebody to go get a recruiter, and I'm not going to tell somebody to change their resume. I'm not going to tell somebody or help them fix their LinkedIn if I'm not going to do it to myself. So with that being said, I reached out to Brittany. I was like, what's good? If you got any weird stuff out there, hit me up. Like nothing right now, obviously. And we chatted for a bit. It was good. She got to know who I am, what I do and stuff like that. And am I looking for a job? No. Does Brittany know that? Yes, she absolutely does. But she also knows, like, this guy's not desperate. I'm not going to bring him anything. And, you know, and even if she did, she'd just learn me. And then she would go, okay, he needs this much money. You know, he needs to be in this place. He needs to be able to do these things on the job, right? This is what's important to him. And then she would find a match for me. So, of course, I did that. Absolutely. Which I would recommend everyone do. Speaking of that.
Not all at once.
Not all at once. No. Don't all go to Brittany either. There's lots of Brittany's out there, right? Often imitated, never duplicated. Never duplicated.
There you.
But what, so like, let's say that, cause I have one very important question to ask you, and I'll just stick it in somewhere at some point. I just don't know when it's going to fall, but I have a feeling it might just get brought up naturally anyway. But one of the other things I wanted to ask was, like, as someone that would be looking for a job, what do you think is, or what should be my focus when I'm trying to, like, find a new job? So let me be more specific. So, yes, I need to update my resume. Yes, I need to update my LinkedIn. Yes, I need to be available, you know. But, I mean, like, what should I be doing addition to that that's going to, like, put me over the edge from your perspective?
From other candidates and everything else, to be ahead of the curve, really.
Right, right.
I mean, those are all key things, the resume, the LinkedIn. If you know what you're looking for, say in this scenario, do you know what type of company you want to work for? Or, you know, it just kind of depends.
I would say, no, I would say, like, let's just say maybe I'm looking for my second job, right? I got a little bit of experience. Okay. I got maybe one or two. I have a CCNA. I'm going to make up a fictitious person right now so that we can actually make this like a realistic scenario. So
it's different for everyone, right?
Sure. Exactly. But let's say I have 2 years of help desk experience. I have a CCNA and no college degree, and I want a job as a junior network engineer.
Okay.
What should I be doing? Like, what could I do to help myself?
Is this somebody with no experience? Somebody
2 years.
Breaking in?
2 years
of experience.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
2 years.
Yeah. So about 2 years of experience, say you're sending out your job applications and you're not really getting any feedback or anything. I mean, that is tough. Really, I mean, apart from the following up.
Okay, whoa, pump the brakes, slam them down. What did you just say?
Following up.
Okay, define following up.
So, a lot of times, I think I've heard you guys talk about it as well. You'll just
it's
get
me.
Automated. Yeah, you'll just get these automated messages, you know, saying, "Oh, thanks you for applying. We've moved on," and then the candidate or whatever, you'll just give up. Okay, done with that. Well, that's not necessarily the case. There's so many like automated job systems. When your resume goes in, say they found one candidate they want to talk to, they'll just automatically decline everyone else. And so you'll get an automatic message.
Hmm.
You know, it's always good to keep following up. There's so many candidates, like from my point of view, that have applied for jobs and say I'll get 50 applications in a day. And it simply passes by me. But they end up calling me and I answer and they turn out to be like the best candidate and I'm able to place them. Otherwise, had they not called me and caught me on the phone, I would have slipped by me. And that could happen to everyone
Okay, so that's perfect because that's kind of what I meant by what is following up. And you said it in there, which is they call me. They find me, they call me, right? So this is LinkedIn, guys. Like, we're all like in the same industry. If you guys can't find the person you're looking for on the internet, you might want to rethink what industry you're getting into, because like you're going to spend all day on Google anyway, so you might as well just get used to it, right? So from your perspective, someone that calls to follow up, even though they got that dagger in the heart rejection letter, like, sorry bro, not this time, and you're saying call
definitely. So especially say it's a tech company. They have a tech environment. They're obviously always going to have tech openings, network engineer openings. So you call, say if it's an internal placement, you call that recruiter. She says, oh, I'm sorry, that position did close. What's to say in a month they won't have an identical opening? You called her, so you're at the top of her pile. She knows she can go right back to you and you're available.
I like being at the top of the pile.
Right?
So you have to have a conversation. You need to speak with people, because I guess looking at a LinkedIn profile or a piece of paper, the resume, I guess it doesn't really give you a true sense of who the person is, what their strengths are, right?
Not at all. And, you know, I'll have so many conversations myself with candidates. And I'll have ones that'll just, they don't want to talk to me. It's only on email. They're like, right. So I'll tell them, like, okay, you submit me. But then I'll have a nice 30-minute conversation with the candidate who may not be as good technically as the other guy looks on paper. But you bet I'm submitting the guy I got to talk to and gave me a time of day.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So
that's interesting.
And I can flip that and throw it back at you too. Like, so yeah, how you have to talk to a candidate to get a feel for them. The recruiter who found me on LinkedIn and placed me at the job I'm at, that I've been at for 5 years, mm-hmm. he said basically what all the recruiters say. Hey, I saw your profile. You're a great match. I'd like to talk to you. The same, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we got on the phone, we talked for like an hour and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Love the guy. He was local. He's like a fisherman. Like, we just had a lot of stuff in common, and he was a person, not whatever I thought he might have been. And because of that relationship, you know, I'm still in touch with him today. But if we had never talked on the phone, to your point, I don't know if I may have just blown him off, like, because he said what everybody says, and that would have been the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many generic emails and templates out there that so many of the same recruiters will use. So it's important to separate yourself from the bunch. Talk with them. You know, it's the networking. It's, you can't say it enough. Network, network, make those connections. Just grow on them.
So this is
we know about network.
I was going to say, this is cool.
Yeah,
this
y'all know how to network.
This is a different type of networking, one that we're not used to.
Yeah. Y'all are, in a way. Y'all are all very good with your LinkedIn.
We are. Like, well, post. Everybody but Dan.
Everybody. I haven't touched that thing in years.
Can't even spell LinkedIn. Maybe we'll we should have an episode where we all just help Dan build his LinkedIn page. Except he can't write any of it. Like, I'll get the About Me section. AJ will get his certs. Yeah. Andy gets to write reviews for. So somebody calls you, they call you back up, they're like, hey, I saw a rejection letter, I tracked you down on LinkedIn. This is like me leaving a voicemail. I tracked you down on LinkedIn, give me a call back, but you never call me back. What should I do?
Call me again?
Call you again.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Definitely. As a recruiter, we literally get, I'm on the phone 4 to 5 hours a day.
Sure.
You know. So it's hard to get everything. Leave me a voicemail. People don't leave me voicemail sometimes. It misses. So it really is like call, text, email. Whenever I'm working with candidates and I know y'all are busy, and say I want to get someone scheduled for an interview and they don't answer the first call, well, I'll text and email them. I know they'll come back to me some avenue.
Yep.
LinkedIn as well if I can't get a hold of them.
I'd like to add the knock job I got, which is my first job in IT. I called the recruiter every 2 weeks. Religiously for 8 months.
Wow.
Until I got the interview.
How am I just now hearing about this?
Yeah, that's great. Because they kept telling me you don't have WAN experience. We need somebody with WAN experience. But
I love it though. This is like a gem from you because I had no idea that you were that.
Took forever.
You know what? I believe it though because you were in sales at one point, and it's a mentality, right? And and I say that in like because I'm in sales, but the most valuable part of being in sales is I'm not a sales guy. Like, I don't cold call people, but the most valuable part is the selling, which allows me to learn how to sell other things like myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, there's an art to that too, right? Like
Asking for things is scary, right? And if you haven't been trained or learned to do it, asking for the sale or asking,
but dude,
I mean, asking is magical.
You're dead on. Yeah. You're dead on asking for those specific things. Yes. That's hard. But because people by nature are going to fear rejection, right?
Yeah.
This is why this process is so funny to me. You go online, you put in an application. Half the time you have to upload your resume and fill out an application, which is redundant. But you know what? We're not here to bitch about that. We're here to just like talk to Brittany. So anyway, I'm filling out the same information that I just filled out. Maybe they're just trying to see if I make a mistake, like I was lying or something, fact checking myself. And you know, and then I get past the CAPTCHA. How many stoplights do you see? Click on the stoplight.
Oh.
And then I start sweating.
Those are the worst.
No. And then you get that through all
last
that.
Last little corner has
right.
The
stop sign. Right. You're like, does this count?
It's like
AJ, the other day, AJ sent that Key and Peele sweating emoji.
Yeah.
Because, oh, that was too funny. So I get through all that process and like then I get this rejection letter. And the thing about it is just that. Like, I'm just sitting here. I probably went on 10 websites that day and did the exact same thing. It's like, oh shoot, I don't even remember applying for that one. Yeah, cool. Like, you know,
right.
So I don't like that approach personally. And you're almost saying like, yeah, slow down a little bit and you could ride like one pony across the finish line, really. Basically by, and I'm not saying like a recruiter necessarily, but like, if you like found a company you wanted to work for, you could work there. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what you just said. It's like, hey, you could call that, it's like an internal recruiter, for instance, like they're saying that like every, you know, Andy's calling the guy every 2 weeks. You're saying, hey, maybe there's an opening, maybe even in a different department. Like, mm-hmm. maybe you could transfer over as a help desk guy, and you're like, hey, I want to do this. Like, what can I do to get into your company to get to this position? They'd be like, well, we have this open. I'd be like, I'm willing to do that. Yeah. Right?
It's just a foot in the door.
Exactly. It, like, don't underestimate the foot in the door move, man, because that's so slick. Like, Andy and I both took jobs as cable guys. Like, Andy, how much were you making when you started?
$13 an hour.
Okay. I was making $8.75, and that's nothing, right? I couldn't afford to pay a single bill I had, except I had to work overtime to do that, right?
You know, it might have been $8 in class, and then maybe it went up to like $12 when we were in the field or something. It wasn't much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nothing.
It was pathetic, and it was for the work that we did, right? Like, brains out of it. The reason why I took that job, and it was only $8 an hour, I was making like $12, I think, at my first like cabling job. I took that job for that exact same reason, because I knew that if I got my foot in the door at the cable company, that I was going to be able to move up quickly.
Right.
So sometimes you got to do stuff like that. I'm not recommending it by any means, but you know, if you found, like, most of us look for not companies. Most of us look for a position, right? Mm-hmm. And that it's okay to be the other way around. You could look for a company. Like, if you want to work at a company, figure out a way to work at the company.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good idea. I was going to say on the, like, looking for a position versus the company as well. Like, if you really, I thought of an idea to say, if you don't know who's hiring, like, for your role, or you're struggling finding that, just find like companies and their competitors as well. Like, that's another good idea to look for different avenues too.
Nice.
Type in that company and be like, they're competitors, you know, and then also go to them. If it's like a type of company you want to work for, like a cabling company, a telco company, or, you know, whatever, that's one good way to do it.
Yeah.
So are most jobs, like, are most postings filled by recruiters?
Yeah, I would say.
That's what it seems. Like, companies don't have HR departments that are looking through hundreds of resumes a day, right? Like, you're the way.
Oh, they do, actually. Yeah, a lot of companies do.
We do.
But the issue.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
There's 190,000 people here, though. So that's
Because I thought it shifted like two recruiters and the recruiters on LinkedIn, and that's what you got to do to get a job. But I could be wrong.
Not really. So most companies have their HR, and they'll have their talent acquisition, like, internal team or something like that. But where they really struggle is on the very, like, specific technical roles and niche roles, because their talent acquisition team, they don't know how to find the talent or whatnot. So that's when they will reach out to external partners or external recruiters that are a little bit more like niche and specific on what we recruit for. Cause we're able to find that talent quicker. It's for cost for them, basically. Like, how much are they losing?
Do they try to fill it themselves? And then when they can't, they'll reach out.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely.
Gotcha.
But we are able to find the talent quick. So.
And they call out the big guns, you know, no big deal. Exactly. Like, this is, you know what we need around here, guys? I don't want to say it. And they're all, like, drinking their coffee. They're like, don't do it. Don't say it. Do not say it. Well, I'm going to. We need a real recruiter.
I imagine that's how it goes sometimes. There is a big stigma with recruiters, but we're not all bad. You know, it's like y'all were saying earlier, we are network engineers like you. I am recruiters, so I just do my best to be good from my side, at least.
Yeah, and I want people to use you more in the Discord, selfishly, you know? I don't want them to overwhelm you, but I do like when you post jobs because, like, for one, they're relevant.
yeah.
For two, like, you're a specific type of recruiter, which is rare, in that exact specific type of Discord where all these people happen to exist. So it's like...
Right.
Everybody in the Discord, just get off your butt, okay?
I was going to ask, actually, because all the recruiters I personally know are external recruiters, so they're all pretty market-specific. Have y'all really not, like, come across that often where you found someone that only recruits for network engineering?
No, when you told me that you just do network engineering, I was like, what? That's cool.
That actually didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Really? I mean, don't get me wrong. I am external and I have bills to pay, so I will recruit for the odd role every now and then.
Oh, sure.
But it's always going to be infrastructure IT related. Like, it may be a program manager, data center worker, AWS security guy, something like that, you know.
Why did you choose that area?
I just really like the networking, honestly.
Okay. Now you're getting us going. All right. What exactly do you like about it?
I don't know. It's so... when I started reading stuff about software dev and all of that, I don't like it. It makes no sense to
preach,
me.
Girl, preach.
Same.
And, oh God, if anyone I've recruited in this field listens to this, yeah. Like, what, Brittany? But no, I don't know. It was something about the networking, being able to look at like the routers, the switchers, and stuff, learning how stuff changes. It just interested me, and I did play around with some CCNA tests, you know, just to see like how I could do and stuff like that. And
how did you do?
Did you pass?
No.
If you did, don't say it to Andy right now, please. he's already about
to
break.
2 years of my life, Brittany. 2 years of my life.
Don't you say you passed it.
First try. Yep, done. I used to screen my candidates.
How did you do it?
Yeah.
I used to screen my candidates with a list of CCNA questions.
Give us one.
5 states, a spanning tree. Ooh. What are they? I even know this one.
What, like port states?
Hold on. You mean
like listening,
discarding, blocking, listening, learning, forwarding?
Forwarding, yep. All right. Good.
Boom.
What was another one? What type of protocol is EIGRP?
Oh, come on. It's hybrid.
I want to say... Oh, I was going to say distance vector.
Distance vector.
It's, but. But.
You're wrong, Aaron.
No, it's. but most people say DB.
Yeah.
Hit us with another one.
Oh, you're testing my knowledge here.
We're testing your testing.
It's been a while since I've used them. I don't got no more.
All right. Fair enough. But, hey, that's a good representation of like a real life scenario though, right? Like, don't be caught off guard by this stuff. And I'm not saying go like do all the did I remember this tests from like every OCG you ever bought in your entire life. You know, that's a little extreme, but you know, like, it doesn't hurt. Like, we love having these books and stuff. Like, we've all got them, like, you know, within arm's reach of us, all of us. And it doesn't hurt to just, when you have 5 seconds, to just peel through it for a second. And quite honestly, I've been talking about this a lot lately on the show, is like these decision points that you have throughout the day. Like, you have so many decision points. Like, I'm deciding to pick this up right now. You know, I'm deciding to look in this direction. It just is like, do I click on this and scroll through Facebook again? So if you have half of a second and, you know, God forbid you're actually looking for a job too, open the book and read it for like half a minute. Like, it's not going to hurt. You'll actually be surprised too.
Something might stick.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? And that's one of those things too. Even if you're in a pure layer two environment all day, every day, and somebody hits you with what are the 5 states of spanning tree? It's gonna take you a second, you know, like all of us, we're like, states of what? So, like, we stall. We're like MST, or are we talking? Like,
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Is so, it rapid spanning tree?
Right, rapid spanning tree. Like, I mean, come on,
flip the script.
But those are good to know, because like that stuff does pop up, and we've had some conversations in the Discord channel about that too. Is like, they can hit you with some surprise questions, and the point really isn't necessarily like, do you know the 5 states? It's It's after about 5 seconds and you realize it, are you going to go, you know what? I don't remember. That's testing like the kind of person you are. It's not testing.
Yeah.
Do you know the 5 states of spanning tree? Which, I mean, it is to an extent, right? Like, do you even know what the heck I'm talking about? Right. Like, but like, I'm sure you're not like, wow, this guy's an idiot, 'cause you know, he forgot the discarding portion. Right. Like,
right. Yeah.
So
That's definitely key. Like, honesty is policy, as much as I hate to sound cliche. It is.
I don't think it's cliche at all. I've been saying it all the time. It's like, if you don't know something, just say you don't know. It's cool. Right? It's totally cool.
Own it. Just be like, I don't know it. I do know a little bit about it. This is what I know, or something like that. You know, don't just flat out be like, oh yeah, I know, and then nothing.
Brittany, you know what I would do if somebody asked me a question in an interview and it stumped me?
What would you do?
Tell me if this is wild. So if I felt completely, well, first of all, I always do this at the end of the interviews. I'm like, so how do you think the interview went? I ask them just so I know, because I don't want to get out to my car and my wife's going to call me and go, how'd the interview go? And I'm going to go, it went pretty well, because like, I think it did. And she's like, well, what happened? I'm like, it was okay. Like, but if I just straight up ask, I have an answer. I'm like, he said it went well. Like, I asked him.
Right.
So that's been working well for me. But if somebody asked me a question, like, let's say I didn't know that off the top of my head, or just freaking period, I don't even know what the hell spanning tree is, I'm going home, and I am figuring out what it is, and I'm writing like a 2-page paper, and I'm emailing that person that asked me that question before they get into work the next day.
Right. That shows a lot of like initiative on your behalf too. Like, I didn't know it, but I'm going to learn it. I went home and read about it.
Yep.
And this is what I learned since I talked with you last.
Yep. I mean, selfishly, really, it just comes from me not wanting to get beat by somebody. But but yes, like things I've noticed that we've been putting out on this podcast, like we've just been talking about, it's like stuff that we've all been doing. We all, probably not Dan. He was like plowing a field and like getting the eggs out of the chicken coop or whatever. And milking the cow. And I don't know what you guys do over there. Make whiskey. Something like that. You know, she's not going to say anything to any of this.
Dan, you don't have to take this abuse.
You're just going
to
sit there.
I don't even
live. He's like, well, it's
farm,
all correct.
So.
So I got nothing
to say. Now he's going to.
That's a great place.
Now he's going to tell me he doesn't own a farm. Okay. Anyway, where were we? So I do this thing where, like, I get like kind of like this person's not going to get the better of me. I'll give you a perfect example. I had a manager. It was a sales manager, though. It wasn't like a technical person. They wanted to know how good I was at selling or like helping sell. Right. So we did some skills practice, AKA role play. So we role played on the spot, and he's like, let's role play right now. So I'll give you guys the cheat sheet. He wanted me to offer him BGP as a service. So if you work for an ISP, BGP is a service that we offer. Everybody uses BGP. It's the internet protocol, right? But when you're an ISP, you can peer with a customer basically and get them like direct access, or you can get them multiple different paths in or out of your own network through our ISP network. And you could also in turn use your network as a transit network, which is strange, but you could do it. Anyway, he was trying to get me to offer that, right? Because we charge people to do that. So like, you want to set up a BGP peering relationship. And the problem was, what he was asking me didn't call for that solution. So you would use BGP if you wanted unlimited, always on reachability, like dual homing BGP with two different ISPs to come into your network, right? So basically what it looks like is there's two roads coming into your network, right? So if one of the roads gets completely taken out, there's still a road back in. This only applies to certain companies, some companies really. Like if you have outward facing things that you need to access from the out in, that's a big deal. However, if you're going from in your network to out of your network, there are different things you can do to maintain reachability to the outside world, right? And that's what he was asking me. He was like, my users want to stay on the internet. And I was like, okay, you don't need BGP. You just need some sort of like HSRP, right? Like you have two ISP, there you go. And he's like, no. I don't think you're understanding. I'm like, oh no, I understand. I'm not selling you BGP, dude. And also the other part of it that I didn't tell him was that I have a very strict code that is, you have to be knowing what you're talking about to ask me for BGP. So if you come at me like this and you're asking me to recommend it, I'm going to just tell you this right now. You probably don't have what it takes to implement the solution. Additionally, I don't know what kind of hardware you got out there, dude, because if you're going to ask me for a full routing table, that thing's going to turn into a toaster real quick. You know what I mean? That's how you crash an ISR. So anyway, long story short, I was right, he was wrong, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And I was heated. So when I got back to the actual person I was like interviewing with, I was like, yo, you believe this guy? Like, he was having me meet all these people because it's important. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. I finally got back in front of a technical person. I'm like, this dude asked me this. And I'm like, check this out. I got it fixed right here. You don't need any of this. He's like, wow. He's like, yeah. So he's like, so did you tell him that? I was like, I mean, kind of. You know, we started butting heads after a while, and it just got awkward. And I was like, all right, I think we're done here. So anyway, but yeah. So be prepared for anything, I guess, is the moral of the story. You know, I always say have like a bunch of resumes when you go on an interview, like, because there's been times where I've been, and I only have all these little sweet little nuggets because I've messed up like a bazillion times. Like you go to the interview and all of a sudden they're like, hey, our director and VP are here. Did you want to meet them too while you're here? Like that happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I do. But I just don't have any. I ran out of resumes.
And you don't want to ask for yours back.
Right. Can I have that back? Ask for everybody's card. Have plenty of resumes with you. Ask for every single person's business card so you can contact them afterwards and thank them for their time. Just
take notes, too.
Take
have
notes.
A pen and paper. It always looks good if you're writing stuff down.
So speaking of, so when you call people, like, how formal is that situation, right? Because you're just, like, testing the waters if you're going to put them in front of a company, right? Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So there's a couple different ways about the way my process goes, too. So say my first thing is I'll think, who do I know? Obviously, if I know any candidates that are good immediately, I'll go to them first. And then if I don't, the job boards, right? Mm. So who's actively looking right now? So those will be a lot of cold calls. Hey, I saw your resume on Monster Dice, Career Builder, wherever. Are you open? And usually, most of the time, they don't answer that first call. So I leave a voicemail, follow up with an email. But when it is a cold call, it's kind of just like, hey, are you still looking? And then we'll have like a brief conversation. And I'll qualify them. You know, does this job, like, does it pay what you need? Is it in the location what you need? Is it relevant to your skill set? And then we'll kind of pick up the conversation and go from there. If those tick their boxes too. A lot of times I'll just get, you know, like pied off if it's just like, nope, I'm not a junior level engineer, whatever.
I mean, that should make people feel better, I feel like, about this situation, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, interacting with someone like you, like a recruiter, right? Like you're almost both in the same boat, right? Because you're looking for a job, you're looking to fill the job, and you only get paid if you do fill the job, right?
Yeah.
So they only get paid if they get a job, right? So like you're both looking to get that next paycheck, and so you're really working together as a team. It's less like Brittany's calling you to, you know, necessarily ask you about the spanning tree states.
She might.
Just be aware. She might.
possibly.
You've been warned. And she's more so trying to get you know, an idea of what you're looking for. Just so that when it pops up, you can just, boom, call that person and be like, hey, check this out. Like, I got exactly what you need.
Exactly. That happened so much. Example of this happened this week. I had a network engineer role in Chicago, and I saw a guy's resume online, and he goes, oh, I just moved to Arizona. This week, I had a role in Arizona pop up, called the guy. He's in the process. So
I love that.
It's just crazy how that works.
It's the network, right? We talk about it all the time. I mean, in this case, it's your network, but it's also his technically because he was like, he actually told you he was moving to Arizona. He didn't even have to say that. You're like, hey, I got this job in Chicago. He's like, sorry. I'm good. Yeah. But no, he's like, I'm moving to Arizona. Sorry. Is there anything else you have? And you're like, mm-hmm. speaking of, and now he's got a job.
Yeah, it is good to keep those conversations open. Like, if a recruiter cold calls you, and, you know, say it's not a right fit, if they're at least on the right track of, like, skill set, you know, it's not a baker job. Yeah. if they're at least on the right track, you know, then you can tell they know what they're talking about. So talk with them. Be like, this isn't right, but when you have something that's like this, X, Y, and Z, give me a call. One prime example of that is I spoke with a candidate 2.5-3 years ago now. He had only had 1 year of experience. He was just a little bit too junior for anything I had on. And then I've just recently placed him now, 3 years later. So he's got about 4 years of experience now. And I hadn't talked to him for that long, but he remembered me from then. I remembered him, and we were just able to keep working together. So
that's
networking
awesome.
Is key.
And it's years later, right? Like, so
yeah,
it's you're planting. Dan's going to love this analogy. You're planting your seeds in the field, and then come the winter solstice, you can harvest your crop. That's probably not how it works, is it?
No.
Is it?
Okay. I got a question.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. What? Oh, my God. Say it ain't so.
I just had to wait for you to tire yourself
and
out.
Just so you know, it's 47 minutes in. So.
Yeah, I was waiting for my spot. So you guys talked about, you know, the person with 1 year experience, the person with two. I think that there's a whole swath of people who have never worked in a production environment and they want to get into network engineering. And they're told that they need to get a CCNA to do that. So how does someone without any, what can they do? Somebody who wants to talk to you and say, hey, Brittany, I'm a career changer. I love tech. I always have, but I've never worked in production. I got my CCNA. What can they do to help you get them a job?
Man, it is tough without any production experience. Definitely. Right.
But how do you get the job without the experience? I mean, that's the chicken and the egg conundrum that everybody runs into. And unless you get somebody who gives you that shot, what are all these people supposed to do?
Yeah.
Here we are. We got a recruiter. Like, what do you need? You know, obviously you need people with experience. Well, how do the people with that experience get a job? And they'll tell you volunteer at your church or the supermarket or whatever. But like, I don't know how practical that is. I mean,
not how like techy it is.
Yeah, we push big for like home labs because okay, I have a production network in my house that I built. Like beyond a lab, let's say, is there any advice you could give somebody who wants to get in and has their CCNA but hasn't been in a production environment? Like what do you just do? You tell them you can't help them? Like I'm sorry, you need experience.
Right. No. So, I mean, it is tough like that, but the one thing is, there are some places that will hire no experience. There's some like, I forget what they're called, like Code Ninjas or something like that, where you can just go in, learn to code, which it's not networking. But one thing I have noticed is a lot of schools in like community colleges, they do hire a lot of like IT technicians and support with no experience or no degree.
Like help desk. You don't place help desk, right?
No, not. I mean, I will sometimes, like tier one, or I do some help desk.
But like, if somebody came to you and you couldn't help them, would you have like a help desk recruiter that you could point them to, maybe?
Yeah. That's another thing too. Thanks for bringing that up, Andy.
Yeah.
You have coworkers.
Okay. I do. So I'll have people like I said earlier. We have some guys that are more on the cybersecurity side, and I have some people that'll reach out to me just because they'll see my presence on LinkedIn. And so I'll pass them on to my other recruiters, and they're able to help them find a job. So it's not like it's just me. I definitely have contacts, and, I can put you in those, point you in the right direction, basically.
So does a social presence or engagement with the community help in your eyes at all? Let's say this same person has a YouTube channel, and they have hundreds of hours of content of them working on their CCNA and labbing. And, like, I mean, what can you do to overcome that hurdle?
Yeah. That 100% helps. I mean, I know you always hear it and see it, like home labs, self-study, do your cert, get those done. Because it does show that you want to learn, you're continuing your education and stuff. But yeah, I mean, definitely like pull up on your YouTube, show that you're actually configuring something. You never know who might see it or who might forward it on or something like that. Send videos to people. Send videos of you configuring something to a technical manager. I mean, that's something that would definitely stand out. How many people do you think do that?
I love that idea. I love that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have thought of that.
Me neither.
And one thing I can't fail to ask, because Aaron brings it up a lot, and I think it's good. Are the listed requirements the Bible truth?
No.
Hold on, she's laughing. Well, let's just pause for a second.
Right.
She audibly laughed.
Well, the real question is, if you have 15 things listed, how many do you need to be able to hit to be a candidate? Maybe that's a more fair question because we know they're not Bible truth.
Right. My favorite thing to say is when in doubt, send it out. But yeah. I would say around 40 to 50% that you would have to mark.
Right.
To touch. I mean,
if it says CCIE, but you have most of the other stuff, as an example, like CCIE may or may not be, if you have 50% of it, but not a CCIE, you should send it out, right?
Definitely. And honestly, when the certs are on there, it's more of a must have. The only time, or more of a plus to have.
Yeah, right.
The only time I've worked roles where it is an absolute must have are with gold partners that need to keep their status.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's really it. Obviously, it does help to have, I got my CCMP guy here. He can help. Like, that definitely goes a ways, but it's not going to be a showstopper. If you've got your 6 years of solid routing and switching experience, like, they're not going to not hire you because you don't have a CCMP.
Do you see automation becoming a prerequisite more and more?
Everywhere. It's
Don't say that. God, why'd you have to ask that? AJ's like,
you just killed Andy though.
For
once.
Right. Well, in that regard, like a lot of the work I do recruit for is contract project based. So it is with a lot of enterprise companies that are more modern in their technologies that are doing these transformations. So
is automation nice to have or a requirement?
Depends on the role. Depends on the role. Hmm. I had an ACI role the other day, and the guy was an ACI.
Ooh, damn.
He was an ACI SME, but he didn't have the scripting part, and so they passed on him. But he was strong with ACI.
So let's pause on that for a second, because that's interesting, right? So you have an ACI SME. So the reason I'm pointing this out is because, like, this guy is literally, like you say, checking all the boxes. He's the box
CCIE
and the check
as well. Yeah.
CCIE. He's an ACI SME, right? And you have an ACI role. It says ACI in the title, probably, right? It's like ACI guy, ACI role. Gee, I wonder where he should work. And he gets there and he can't do one simple, you know, must have on there. He had all the nice twos, but didn't have the must have. Like, that's a crazy scenario to think about. And we would, no one in the world would ever know stuff like this happens other than the person that's like getting rejected. Like, how does he feel? Like, freaking his handle or whatever we're calling it, AJ, his freaking, I don't know, what do you call it, handle? His handle is ACI guy, at ACI guy, right? And he's getting turned down for a job that says ACI guy.
Like, right. Yeah.
I bet he knows automation now.
Right. You guys know what I would have done?
What?
I would have wrote a script that night spam that guy's email box.
Talking about this?
I just thought of something about job descriptions and I wanted to say.
Yes.
About how are they the Holy Grail? I got a new job description in this week that was written. You could clearly tell it was written by a non-technical person. And it said this person must be proficient with EIGRB protocol. And so
it's a new one.
Think about it. Like, I saw
version?
It. I knew that was not.
You knew that was wrong. Right.
Right. And I'm thinking, like, if they sent this to other recruiters, they're sending that out to other candidates. EIGRB.
Sometimes, though, you guys ever do, Brittany, you just bought a house, so this is going to hit home for you. I'm going to get a drum sound. I need a little thing.
Oh, gosh.
And for every time Dan talks and it goes, so you ever read like a house description online? And
yes.
It's like, first of all, realtors, I hope there's no realtors listening to this, and the odds are in my favor here. What the hell is wrong with you guys? You got your caps lock on. You don't know how to spell. You're like putting the letter R instead of A-R-E and stuff like that. Like, you know, words are just missing. Their words are just straight wrong. Like, dude, open up a Microsoft Word, pre-type that junk out, let it autocorrect you, and copy-paste it in there. You're welcome. So,
right.
So what I mean to poke fun was that is the exact same thing that happens on job descriptions sometimes.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, the formatting's not even right. Like, you guys care not about this job.
No. It's a mess. So that's something that you definitely, like, don't read too into the job description. If it looks like a good fit, you know, do it. Apply
when in doubt,
it.
Send it out. Full send, Andy. Full send.
Full send.
Can we talk about money real quick? So everybody, recruiters will ask you, you know, what are you looking to make or what do you make now? Mm. And I remember in the beginning thinking, like, I never really knew how to, it always seems to be a ping pong match. You know, like, I want you to give me a number because I don't want to give you a low number and then I'm leaving money on the table. Later, the more I've talked to recruiters, I'll basically tell them what I'm making now and I need 20% to even consider it. I mean, that's kind of my new thing, but
do you suggest doing that?
Right.
Yes.
What? Okay. Like, with money, is it a mistake to tell you what I make and what I want because you could be offering 50% more and now you're like, well, I got it for 20. That 30% is mine later, dude.
Right. Yeah. So again, that definitely depends on the recruiter.
Yeah.
You will have some that'll try to stack on that margin. I can speak for myself. Like, I definitely prefer you to tell me what you need. What do I need to achieve to work with you? Because I don't want to get to the end of a deal or a potential offer and I realize this is 50K below whatever this guy was wanting, you know? And most of when I recruit for jobs, I'm not recruiting for a job that might be a thing. It's got an approved budget. I know what I can work with. So I'll tell you, if I have a budget too.
I was going to ask that.
You,
And yeah. I ask for range too, and so far they seem to. I mean, I guess you're pretty honest, right? Like, oh, it's, you know, 80 to 115 or something, you know, a year. Is that generally an honest-ish answer? Yeah. Because I'm always afraid I'm going to be leaving money on the table. Like, part of me wants to shoot high, but then you could disqualify yourself.
Too high, you know?
Right, exactly. Right. So the money thing's always tricky, I think.
It is. It definitely is, because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot either way. I think it is best to give a range to your recruiter. Just be like, I would accept on this end, because you've also have to, there's benefits and stuff, PTO, perks that you
total
have to
compensation
as well, right? And there's a lot of details. So you could tell the recruiter, I'd be willing to look at this low depending on the package. One thing I like to tell my recruiters or my candidates too, and you could also use this to tell recruiters as well, is I'm going to give you the chance to say no, even if it's $5,000 to $10,000 lower than what you told me. I'm at least going to bring it to you if I feel like it ticks every other box, like every other skill set or something, you know, unless there are people that are sticklers, you know, I'm not leaving unless it's a $400,000 base, don't call me. So, okay, noted. But, you know, people that are actually like wanting to get a new job and like looking for the right move, you know, I'll give a little bit of wiggle room on the lower end as well as the higher end. I'm not going to not call someone if it's too high either. Right.
First of all, thank you for saying that you have the approved budget with you, because I always answer this question. I'm kind of like a bull in a china shop, though, because like I wait for them to do it, and it's like a trap, because you know it's going to happen. And when I say them, I mean like, you know, your fellow recruiters, Brittany. I did not do it to you.
My kind.
Your kind. For the record, I did not do that to Brittany. She can attest. But they say... They always say, like, all right, so one or two questions. They either say, you know, what are you making now? Or make it three questions. What are you making now? Or what would you like to make? Or what are you making now and what would you like to make? Right? So I've always found it very easy to navigate that question personally. I don't know. Maybe it sounds like it's not. I guess early on I felt that way too. I would... But I always highballed. Like I never got scared that I was going to outprice myself. You know what I mean? Like let them come to me and be like, whoa, that's way too much. And then I would be like, okay, well, what is your upper limit then? I mean, maybe I can work just to your point. Right. But since I've always done that, I think like maybe in the last like 7 years or so, I've always kind of been like, I do it all. I kick the tires a lot. I'll always just put it right back on them every single time. Like, cause I know you have a budget. Like I know that, like you just said it. So that's why I'm like, thank you for saying that. Cause I know it happens. Right. Cause you're as a recruiter, like they give you a list of stuff. Like here's who I'm looking for. Here's the budget. Cause you would be wasting your time otherwise. Right.
Right.
I mean, those two go hand in hand. That's a requirement too. Like the guy has to be worth this, or the girl has to be worth this. And I started just throwing it right back and saying, hey, really good question. Cause it's usually like, how much do you make? I'm like, really good question. I'm like, what's the target? What's the range?
Yeah.
I mean, I just ask.
Do you find that most recruiters tell you right away, or is it kind of a struggle?
Yeah.
From there to get it?
Yeah. I have yet to encounter an experience where they were like, well, like they'll hesitate maybe like, well, they're saying like top range, like I'll just throw some random numbers out there to make it easy. Like, let's say top range is like 100, and I'd be like, yeah. Like, let's say I was making 90, and they're like, well, top around 100 or so. And I'd be like, yeah, that's might be close, but I'm probably going to look for somewhere around like 105, 110. Because the second you show me your cards, I'm going in full force. Like I'm coming in hot. Like
that's
I'm shooting.
You gotta be careful with.
I'm shooting over your head. If you tell me that, yeah, well, actually, the top is like 100, and you're at 90 now, so yeah, you're within range. That would shoot me in the foot right away. Like, oh, your top's 100. I'm looking for like 110. You know, but I'll talk to him.
I got another question.
Okay.
Culture. No. So when I'm. Are you able to get a sense of the place that you're recruiting for? Because when I've interviewed places, everything can be right, but you just never know what you're walking into, and you're not going to until you're there. So that's a scary thing. You know, I'm going to leave where I'm at. I might be getting a couple more dollars, but you know, is 15, 20 grand more worth walking into a really bad situation? You know,
right.
So as a recruiter, are you able to gauge that at all? I mean, how would you know the environment? Like I use Glassdoor. You know, if I look and it's 1.5 stars and 5,000 reviews, I'm
I don't
running.
Know. I like, don't know, though, Andy.
But what else can you do, though? Like, that's what I'm saying. How do you get a gauge for the culture you might be walking into?
That is hard. I think as myself, like when I was a job seeker, I would use Glassdoor as well. You know, that's really the best thing to look at in that regard. Or even LinkedIn. Look at what their profile is like. But from as a recruiter, like from that side, when I'm talking with hiring managers or taking the job spec or whatever they need, I'll ask about the team and the culture and the size and what are people like, how many are on the team. That way I am able to talk to my candidates about what they are stepping into to hopefully make it a little more of an easy move.
Yeah. Is there a team? Is there going to be somebody there that can help you get acclimated and get you up to speed? And
training,
so the hiring
structure.
Manager is the person that would be my boss, right? So you're basically talking to the person who's going to hire me. And they should know.
Basically, yeah. That's what we try to do. Yeah. We typically try to talk with the technical guys or the technical person that has the decision because they are going to know more about what they're talking about versus the HR team that put out the job description.
Right.
Well, I was going to say that too. Like, Andy, like, you know, you're eventually going to get to those people anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it's like dating, you know what I mean? You might have to... An interview's a date. You go in and you interview and they seem normal.
And what happens if the interview goes well, Andy? Like, let's say it goes really well.
Well, you've all dated someone. The interview went really well.
That's all
and
we
six
needed.
6 months in, you're like, oh my
needed.
God.
Total compensation.
AJ.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
AJ, that's when you use the little video of him doing this.
So Aaron, you push back a little bit on the Glassdoor. You're not a fan of maybe that way
dude,
to gauge a place.
Look, I'll tell you.
On that note, normally the people that leave reviews are the bad reviews.
Andy, we had a full
hold
blown.
On, but we did. But I'll push back on that, saying that my wife works at SAP, and they have 4.5 stars. 30,000 reviews. Everybody I've ever talked to loves that place. Mm. So like, there's one example of everybody loves it. But
totally.
You're right. Like
totally.
Most people, it's negative.
The data's skewed, right? Yeah, your disgruntled employees, they go on there because I mean, you read them and you're like, so what I always look for if I ever do go to Glassdoor is the ratio of good to bad reviews. Like, cause look, I love working where I work right now. I absolutely love it. Am I gonna go on Glassdoor and leave a good review? I'm absolutely not going to do that either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm certainly also not going to put my salary in there. Like, right. No, I'm not doing
any
of that.
And I didn't leave a bad review at that place that I was crazy
totally.
About. So
totally.
I hear what you're saying.
It's like an Amazon, right? Like the guy gets a bad package, he puts one star, and it's like, and it ruins the whole data set.
But I think that's the scariest part of the whole process for me when I'm going through it.
What
is? I just... I don't know
change.
What that environment's going to be
culture.
Like in that culture when
culture.
I get there. Glass, you may or may not be able to trust Glassdoor. If you can talk to a couple people who've had experience there, that's great. But, you know, all the boxes are ticked. You look like a good candidate. You have the skill set. The money's great. The location's good. Your boss seems cool. The team seems good. But you have no idea. You might get there in 6 months in. Everybody's just a sociopath and, like, it's just a bad place to be.
What's,
you know?
What's the saying, the devil you know or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, especially before... the pandemic. I mean, a lot of people like final interviews were able to have multiple stages on site.
Mm.
So that definitely can help like at least see the environment a little bit. But now things are remote or virtual interviews and stuff. So I could see how that could probably be a little tough.
Mm-hmm. How has that changed things for your industry? Are there less postings? Is it
good question?
Yeah, it's come in waves actually. Mm. I would say I've seen more contract roles, contract and contract to hire roles than I have direct hire and perm roles in the past 8 months or so. But one thing is I feel like everything will be moving remote and it will stay this way for a long time. Most roles I had before would be like on site. Now they're all like remote. We don't care. I mean, I'll have the odd one where they're like, we need you open to at least one day a month on site or something. But that's been a big change, is the remote working.
But and I guess it depends on the company too, right? Like I was just talking to a neighbor, she works in HR, and her job all day every day is to try to get people back in the office because they just signed a 10-year lease in the city.
Oh God.
Right. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, but then it could be another place. Like, we have to get people in. We spend $1 billion on this darn building. So
right. That remote thing's very interesting to me. So like, Brittany, have you noticed, like, so let's say, for instance, because this brings up a whole new way to live, because you're saying like everybody for the most part is realizing like they can be remote, especially in our field, right? Because like we just use computers all day anyway, right? So unless we physically had to be somewhere, like, or a data center or something, like, I get that. But are you noticing that the pay amounts are being adjusted because of
actually,
that?
Actually, no.
So that's really. So that's crazy. Okay, so let's just throw the scenario out there then, because I've lived in the Bay Area and I've lived there when it's been like it is right now. And if I could make the Bay Area money and live in Boise, Idaho, I would do it in a heartbeat, right? So this brings in a whole new like era of like paying someone for the title, not the geography.
It's that adjusted cost of living or whatever they call it, right? They'll pay you less in Ohio.
Right. So you're saying that doesn't exist, is right?
Not that what I've seen.
Okay.
I have seen the adjusted cost of living. I've heard of people talking about that if they're like at a company now, say they're living in California, and then they move, but they stay at their company, that the companies are talking about adjusting their salary.
Oh yeah. By the way, don't. We're gonna have to delete that from the podcast. That's like my biggest secret, just so everybody knows. You gotta do is live in California for like 3 years, and then you get your salary like sky high, and then you just bounce. I get a raise simply from moving to a different state because the taxes are lower.
but back to your question, Aaron. Brittany, you're not seeing companies pay less because people aren't commuting, they know that they're not putting as much money out to get somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I've seen is my rates have stayed the same, or my budgets have. They've always been different between like California budgets and, you know, Midwest, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
but I have noticed that the rates have stayed the same for each area. Like they haven't gone down in California just because you're remote.
Right. Like it still costs Aaron more per month to live where he lives than where I live. So he would basically have to make, you know, more for the same job.
Right. I need it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's cool. Like, if you looked at my salary, you're like, wow, that guy's rich. And you're like, well, not really. You know? And you look at my taxes and you're like, oh, God. So, Brittany, do you have any, like, just ultimate recruiter gems to drop on us? Like, what is the one thing that a job seeker should be doing? Or what's the one thing you could do right now that would exponentially change your life? So, like, what would have the biggest impact from a single like maneuver?
Or what should they stop doing?
That's good too.
If that's an easier one.
Right, that
guys,
could be.
Guys, stop doing X, you know, or whatever.
Oh man,
that's
a big question.
Yeah.
Let's see. What should they be doing?
Single biggest impact, right? Like, okay, so let's say I don't have I'm fresh. I'm trying to get my first job, to like Andy's earlier story. It's like I'm looking for a job, I'm green, I have no experience, like I have nothing. So I'm Dan Richards. And dude, you got to say something back, man. Otherwise, this is not going to be fun for me anymore.
I'm just taking the punches now.
Yeah, but now you're making me feel bad because you're not saying anything back. So it's just,
Dan, you figured out a way to shut him down.
I hate it.
It's Stonewall.
We're deleting that part out of this, too. So,
is Aaron the group bully?
Yeah.
Obnoxious one, noticed? The annoying one, I'm all that.
According to Aaron, all I do is upgrade Flash on router, so.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I said that?
And work at a million places.
Yeah.
I did. I said all.
Work at like 30 jobs.
I said all.
And
29.
And Andy's worked on one network his whole career and knows nothing.
Yeah. No, that was Dan. No, you're a cable guy like me. So if I'm starting out and I don't have like, let's say I don't have a social presence, let's say, I still have yet to build my resume, and I do all those things. I get a LinkedIn. I do all this. Next step, what should I do? Should I buy a book about interview questions? Should I find someone to practice you know, interviewing with? I mean, what should I do?
Yeah.
Should you become so good technically that it doesn't matter you don't have experience?
Right.
You know, what can these people do? I mean, really.
I want to guess the answer. I want it to be just call Brittany. That's going to be what you're going to do.
That's a good one. Definitely. And if anyone is listening to this and they have interviews, they need interview prep, I'd be happy to run through it with them as well.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Hey.
Or whatnot, you know. But yeah, first thing, you've got your resume, you've got your LinkedIn set up. Find, you know, like I said earlier, call people that you see jobs, find the number online. You can Google anything. You know, find the number, call them, find who's hiring, basically. Just keep calling up, sending in your resume.
Calling.
Yeah.
I love
Follow up.
I love that. Follow up. We'll make that the gem because I think personally that was the single most impactful thing that you said was follow up. But and it was also the way you said it. It was like very nonchalant, matter of fact, like, yeah, obviously follow up, but not so obviously because folks are not doing that. And it's hurting them, right? Like, because I'm calling back. If you're listening to this and you don't call back, I am calling back. And they're giving me the job because I'm calling back, right? So just know that, right? And it's not a competition necessarily, but...
it's kind of like a sales skill, right? You have to be persistent. You have to ask. And it's... You have to be vulnerable and it's scary and they might reject you.
Be a little uncomfortable, you know?
Well, you are selling yourself in a way.
You are.
Like,
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You know, it's definitely like sales. Finding a job is a job.
No, it is.
And some, and I don't know if it's, you know, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but maybe a lot of technical people don't feel that comfortable.
That could be
putting themselves out there, asking, and they want to sit in their room with their computer and just do their nerd stuff. So
that's
Dan's raising his hand.
That's people in general, though, right?
But maybe that's it, right? Like maybe they have to get uncomfortable and they have to ask and they have to call Brittany and like you got to get out of your comfort zone and not hide.
Yep, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I mean they're always you have to get out of your comfort zone. Really, there's going to be that, and then once you break through it and you find that first role, you know it's. Almost like the connections open up and you'll be able to start growing.
Keep pushing, right? You just need that initial spark and then you can just keep pushing. You'll start meeting people. Like pretty soon you'll have a podcast where you get to interview recruiters. Like it only gets better, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Brittany,
I can't believe this.
Brittany, we really appreciate you coming on. Like we also really appreciate everything you do in the Discord server, posting jobs, helping people out, giving advice, like, you know, anything you want to add?
It really adds a lot of value. I mean, seriously, like I can't imagine every Discord server study group has a resource like this. And I'm very thankful that you are one, a fan of the podcast. Two, you know, you came on here and talked to us and shared all this wealth of knowledge. And you're there for our Discord members. I think you're really adding a lot of value, bringing a big service, and I appreciate that. I know these guys do too.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad y'all let me join everything. It's been great.
Oh yeah, we let the shark in the water, you know.
Well, that's perfect. And I think at some point we'll probably, I'm just guessing, we'll probably end up having you back on here and get maybe some updates, and we'll get some more tips and tricks from you because I think you've got a lot more that we have yet to uncover. So.
Mock interviews.
Yeah.
Mock interviews. Yeah.
You guys want to see Dane sweat really bad?
In his brand new shirt.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I'd be happy to join. If y'all want to set up like a you know, top 10 questions of people that they want to ask me and go through those,
ooh,
I'd be happy to do that too.
Good.
Ooh,
yeah.
Gosh. Okay. All right. We're on to something here.
We might have to release this episode a little bit sooner, AJ. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to figure this out. So, yeah, thanks again, Brittany. We really appreciate it. Thanks for helping us out. Thanks for helping everybody else out. You know, we look at you, and I know the community looks at you as, like, you know, kind of like a source of truth for this sort of stuff because we're all literally doing the same thing. So, you know, we need to have someone who actually has real world experience and does this for a living tell us, like, hey, this is how it actually is. So we really appreciate that. So where can we find you, by the way? We never got to that part.
Oh, LinkedIn, Brittany Musset. And
okay.
That's about it for
all
now. Right. I'm thinking about making a professional Twitter, but
you should do. Yeah, we all have one.
Yes.
And this is coming from the guy that just got a Twitter, so
and we had a poll to pick his name. I mean, if you're feeling frisky, maybe we could do that for you too. You know, you might end up with something cool. Recruiter of the year over here. So our very own Art of Network Engineering recruiter, yeah. Brittany Mosset. We're going to put all of your information in the show notes, just like we always do, so people can find you if they need to, even just pick your brain or whatever. But, folks, she has jobs, okay? So,
jobs.
You got a job. So, we really appreciate you coming on here. Hopefully, everybody that's listening now that came over because they listened to Knox is now going to stay because of you. That was our plan. We did this on purpose. You had a tough act to follow, and you did it very well, and we appreciate that. So, and until next week, everybody, see ya.
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of N-E-T-E-N-G. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.